Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. You're listening at CindySheehanSoapbox.com or CommunityProgressiveRadio.org. And here I am today in Peoria, Illinois. I did have an injury on unbike related. I tore a ligament, from my coccyx to my sacrum, which is called the sacrococcygeal ligament. So I'm just taking a few days rest ride. And we had a very good event here in Peoria last night. And I've been having trouble with the soapbox because I'm riding across the country and I'm cycling in some areas that don't have Wi-Fi, that don't have, good cell phone service. So it's been hard for me to schedule interviews. And my wonderful, amazing engineer, Don DeBar, who's also with Community Progressive Radio, I'm not just kissing his ass. He really is an amazing activist and, human rights activist, peace activist, media, truth and media activist. So he said, why don't you interview people along the way? And so I'm taking his advice finally, and I'm staying with an activist here in Peoria. Her name is Tanya Sneed. Tanya is a first grade teacher in the public school. And she is my Facebook friend who invited us to Peoria, and she organized a visit. And just sitting around and chatting with her, I've been so impressed by the depth of her activism, the depth of her compassion, the depth of her knowledge on many issues. So I talked her into letting me interview her about two things that are very, very important to her and also important to me. So stay tuned, and I'll be right back with my friend and fellow activist, Tanya Sneed. Tanya Sneed, welcome to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Thanks.
So I am actually in Peoria at your house right now, and I'm upstairs and you're downstairs. And I really appreciate you taking time to come on and talk about two of your favorite causes.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me.
And I have known you as a Facebook friend, and when you saw that my action tour de piece was going to be near, you reached out to me and invited us to Peoria. And so I've had a really good time talking to you and finding out your depth as an activist. I've been very impressed by everything that you do.
Thanks.
And so are you, like, have done reforestation in Haiti, fair trade? You've been to Central America and done activism there. And two of the causes that you're really involved in are causes that I really care about, too. And that's the death penalty and animal rights. So I'd like to talk, first of all, about your work with the case of the person on death row, Jimmy Davis. So first of all, I found it very interesting how you came to be an advocate for Jimmy Davis. Did I say Davis? I meant Dennis. His name's Jimmy Dennis, not Jimmy Davis. I've been making that mistake a lot. And I actually do correspond with him and through you, and so I think that's great. But why did you decide to help Jimmy Dennis and be an advocate for him?
Well, in the late 1990s, there was a local, there was an article in the local paper about a gathering of exonerated death row inmates at Northwestern University. And I had been opposed to the death penalty already, but I was very compelled by the fact that so many innocent people were going to death row. I had no idea that that was happening. I kind of assumed that if you ended up on death row, that they must have physical evidence and all other kinds of evidence against you. And so I was very shocked to learn how easy it is for them to set somebody up. And for innocent people to end up there. And I found there was so much attention in Illinois on cases of innocence. We had had at that point, well, by the early part of this century, we had 13 people who had been released from death row. And I found that it was changing a lot of minds about the death penalty and causing people to be against it, including Governor Ryan of Illinois, who is a Republican governor. He issued a moratorium on the death penalty and then later commuted everyone's sentence. It was like 167 sentences. He commuted their sentence to life without parole, and he released four people. And anyway, I found that I decided, well, if I could find an innocent person on death row, that could help, that could be my part of trying to, you know, end this horrible institution. So I studied all kinds of cases on the internet, and I found Jimmy's case the most compelling to me and decided to study it for myself. I went to the Philadelphia courthouse twice and studied it with a great deal of intensity before I built a website for him and all that. But yeah, I became fully convinced of his innocence.
Well, there's so many people on death row, and I'm against the death penalty anyway, even if a person is guilty. But there's like such obvious proof that Jimmy Dennis didn't commit this crime. Can you tell me and my listeners what he's accused of, and then how he, there's no possible way he could have actually done it?
Yeah, in October of 1991, October 22nd, there was a 17-year-old girl named Shadell Williams who was murdered at a transit station. And she was, by all accounts, by any of the witnesses' accounts, was killed by someone who was 5'9", 5'10", or taller. In fact, there was one witness who said that the person who did it was taller than the victim, and Shadell was 5'10", which is very tall for a female. Mm-hmm. Jimmy is 5'4".
Wow.
You can even go to the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections website, and you can see that he's listed as 5'4". By all accounts, too, the person who committed the crime was 170 to 190 pounds. Jimmy, at the time of the murder, weighed about 130 pounds. In fact, you know, he's since gained weight in prison, but there was a time period when I first got involved where the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections website still had him listed as 130 pounds, which I had printed that off as my own evidence for his weight at the time, and it also was documented in court that he was small. And so he didn't match the description of witnesses. The witnesses who saw the crime happen, by their own testimony, their preliminary hearing testimony, there were three witnesses who testified at trial that said that they saw Jimmy for mere seconds. One person said 1 second, mm-hmm. One person said 5, and one person said 20. And the idea of being able to re-identify someone that you saw for just seconds,
mm-hmm.
It seems very preposterous to me, especially in the midst of a crime like that, because, you know, a lot of the evidence, people who've studied stranger identification have found that people do not focus on the features of the perpetrator. They focus on the weapon because they're concerned about whether that weapon is pointed at them.
Uh-huh.
And so people tend to be pretty good at re-identifying weapons, but, you know, not facial features and things of that nature. Of criminals, because, you know, when a crime involves a weapon. And since Shadell was shot and killed, and this all, you know, like I say, it happened in just mere seconds, and I don't believe that total strangers would be good at re-identifying the person. And initially, these three witnesses, their initial statements, they questioned themselves, you know, like the police were asking, you know, are you sure that this is the time when they collected his photo out of a photo spread? And they were answering things like, no, you know, I can't be sure. Just, you know, it looks like the person. So
how did Jimmy get, you know, involved in the financial predicament he's in?
Well, primarily it was because his picture was in the photo spread that they showed the witnesses. There was a witness who, there was a rumor that Jimmy had committed this crime along with two other individuals by the name of Rodney Johns and Derek Solworth. And Jimmy had been with the two of them that day. The three of them had been in a vehicle together that belonged to Derek Solworth. But that vehicle does not match the description of the vehicle used in the crime. And neither Rodney Johns nor Derek Solworth were charged in the crime. And we know three people were involved in the crime. There were two people who approached Shadell and one of whom shot her, and there was a third person in a getaway car that raced off from the scene. And so but these other two people that Jimmy was with that day were never charged for this crime. We believe that one of the two, Derek Stallworth, may have had a solid alibi or something in his statement that made it impossible to go after him. And so his statement was never turned over to the defense. That's never been produced for the defense to see.
Mm-hmm.
And so in any case, there was a rumor in the neighborhood that Jimmy was involved in this crime with these other two individuals. And so Jimmy heard about this rumor. He called the police station. He went there with his father, but he was turned away. I mean, he didn't act in any way like a criminal
mm-hmm.
would have. He volunteered himself just because he said, you know, I understand there's a rumor that I'm involved in this. And the police initially turned him away, and it was about a month later before they arrested him. And I think a lot of it was because of these witnesses who were complete strangers who picked out his photo. I've seen the photograph that they selected. I went to the Philadelphia courthouse and I've seen it. And Jimmy was falsely identified as 5'8"
mm-hmm.
in the photograph.
Oh.
So, yeah. And like I say, you know, he's just 5'4". So there were those kind of mistakes going mm-hmm. on. We know from DNA cases that the number one cause of wrongful conviction is stranger identification.
Right. And so what is the status of his case right now or appeals or anything like that?
Well, he lost all of his appeals at the state level, and it was very, very discouraging. You know, at one point, one of his appeals before the Pennsylvania state courts, he lost by just, it was a 4-3 vote with the judges, so the state Supreme Court there. So it was very discouraging because he came so close. Anyway, so now he's at the federal level. He's before the U.S. District Court of Eastern Pennsylvania, and after this, should he lose at this level, the next level is the Third Circuit, and beyond that is the U.S. Supreme Court. The chances of the U.S. Supreme Court hearing his case is very slim because
right.
there are so few cases and there's nothing particularly unique about his case. So really, he's really just got this appeal on the next one left. We're waiting on the judge in this case to, I mean, at this court level, for the judge to make a decision. And, you know, we don't have any idea. There's no time frame for that. It could happen any time. And it's, you know, it's really pretty scary because he really is toward the end of his appeals.
How long has he been in prison?
Since 1991, so we're going on 22 years. Yeah, mm-hmm. pretty much, you know, the bulk of his adult life. He was 21 years old when he was initially incarcerated.
So you have some people, some significant people who are supporting Jimmy Dennis. Can you tell my listeners who you have who have made statements in support of him?
Yeah, we have a statement from the actress, Susan Sarandon. And so that was very exciting to get a statement from her. We have a statement from Ed Asner. He also was willing to read about the case and to provide a statement for us. Of course, we have a statement from you, from City Sheehan. So that was awesome to get one from you as well. Yeah, the support, Jimmy has a kind of a team of international supporters. Mm-hmm. He has a supporter from Australia who's done an awful lot. She's gotten various articles in Australia, stories about Jimmy and her support of him. He has a real key supporter from Germany, from Slovenia. Yeah, there's been people from the UK, a band that's been real involved. And yeah, it's exciting, all the international attention that his case has gotten. But still, we need a lot more attention drawn to his case. We started a change.org petition last year, and we have a little over 2,000 signatures. We need quite a few more than that, though. So, we certainly are still doing what we can to spread the word about his case.
Well, I just am so disgusted with this country that still has the death penalty, and we incarcerate the highest percentage of, people in prison to population than any other country. And then we have the nerve to say that we're, the beacons of freedom around the world. And the death penalty is so barbaric. I think that most of those countries that people are supporting Jimmy, they don't have or never have had the death penalty. And so I think it's just so important for us to keep bringing up these cases. And even if the people are guilty, if there's a chance of executing one innocent person, it's just really not worth it. And of course, it hasn't been proven to be a deterrent to any crime anyway. So what can my listeners do to get involved or get more information or help support another innocent person on death row?
We have websites for Jimmy that they can visit. My website is jimmydennis.org. So it's Dennis is with two N's. So jimmydennis.org. There's a contact us page on that website, and it has links to his Facebook pages, to the change.org petition. People can request a bumper sticker, and we can send that to them for free. And lots of supporters some of them have been very creative. We have people who've donated songs for Jimmy. There's other people who've built additional websites. There's JimmyDennis.com, which actually the couple that started that, they're out of Canada, and they don't have the death penalty there. And they were the ones who actually first introduced the whole world to Jimmy Dennis's case. They were the ones who first started the Jimmy Dennis Justice for Jimmy Dennis campaign. And there's JimmyDennis.net. There's some other websites. The woman from Germany has a website for him. And so sometimes what people have done to support him is just to build another website. He has such a huge presence on the web.
Well, great. Awesome. So we send always our best from Cindy Sheehan's soapbox. And every time somebody is executed in this country, it's like a stab in my heart, that's for sure. But another issue that you're very, adamant about and a very good advocate is for the four-legged animals in our world and the birds and the fish. And so you do animal rights, but not just you. Here in Peoria, you have quite a network of people who are vegans and do animal rights issues. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I was kind of a latecomer to animal rights. For a long time, I was saying we can deal with animal rights after we take care of human rights and that human rights should be our priority, and once we have all the human rights issues solved, then we can deal with animal rights. And I didn't understand how integrated all that is and how animal rights is human rights and human rights is animal rights. I didn't see how what destruction, you know, we are causing in the environment because of our insistence on eating animals. You know, rainforests are being cut down continually. 200,000 acres per day are being
right.
cut down. A lot of that is due to animal agriculture or growing feed for animals. And so there's no way that this is possibly sustainable. And I didn't really have a heart for animals. I was pretty much cold-hearted toward animals. And then a friend sent me some video footage of modern-day agriculture, and I was just shocked. You know, I had no idea that we kept animals in such confinement.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, it wasn't that I had empathy for the animals, though. Initially, I was grossed out, and I was like, wow, I can't believe the FDA is allowing us to eat this. And, you know, just chickens just, you know, literally on top of each other and in cages where they don't even have the room of, you know, a piece of paper,
mm-hmm.
Who've never seen sunlight and never get to spread their wings. And so I was, you know, really, really disgusted by all of that. And at first, you know, I didn't even necessarily believe it. I had to do a lot of research to determine that, yeah, this is indeed how over 95% of animals are raised.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it took a while for me to realize, you know, I don't want any animals being slaughtered for me, you know, and even if they're on a so-called happy farm, there's nothing happy about being killed.
Right.
And so, you know, ultimately I decided to go vegan. And so I never been vegetarian or anything. I just went, you know, directly from eating animals to vegan. So,
uh-huh.
And, you know, it's been really great. There's so many benefits of this diet. And there's also so many really, really incredible people that I've got to meet through this cause.
Well, you know, I've been a vegan, vegetarian or vegan for many, many years, and I think that it's very intimately connected to being a peace activist. And Leo Tolstoy said, as long as there are slaughterhouses, there will be battlefields. And I just think that, and I was telling you earlier, that the, you know, United States, I think there's a direct correlation to the amount of meat we eat and the amount of violence in our society from the top down. And the, you know, an animal, a living thing, is being slaughtered, and there's so much of the adrenaline and, you know, I hate to say bad karma, but there's so much adrenaline and things that get pumped into the meat besides all the drugs they give and steroids and antibiotics and everything, that I think that there's a direct correlation to that. I mean, other countries eat meat, but it seems like the United States has a high proportion of meat eating to the population.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. There, you know, and I didn't see that, like I say, initially I didn't see all those connections, but yeah, how can I call myself, you know, a peace activist or consider myself nonviolent if there's violence on my plate at every meal? You know, now I see those connections, and I see animals as sentient beings who are a lot more like me than not like me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to suffer, they don't want to die, they don't want to be confined, you know, they don't want to be tortured. And so it seems to me that the least we could do is we could leave them alone, you know, the very minimum. We could, you know, even if people don't want to take in a, you know, a homeless animal or anything, at the minimum what we could do is just not have them on our plates.
So do you have any organization or activist?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the...
Do you have any, like, organization or actions
for animal rights activism here in Peoria?
Yeah, we have a website, animalrightspeoria.org, and it's also .com and .net. And our organization is called Peoria Area Voices for Animals. We're small, but we get a lot done. I'm amazed at how much we do accomplish, even though we're pretty tiny. And we have lots of events where we're serving vegan meals, and we have a monthly vegan potluck, so we can introduce people to veganism that way, and we share recipes and things of that nature. We often go to the campus of ISU, Illinois State University, in Bloomington Normal, and we will have a booth there where and we'll pass out gobs of literature to the students at the university, and then we'll pay them $1 to watch a 4-minute film of animal agriculture. And we have that's been a very effective tool. Because a lot of people are, are like me, just completely shocked that this is going on. And, they have no idea of, like how, I guess how prevalent it is. There's just the United States alone, there's 10 billion land animals being killed per year, and over 95% of them are chickens. Chickens are probably the worst treated of any animal on the planet. And so we get a quite a response from people. A lot of times people will watch the 4-minute video and tell us, I'm never eating an animal again. And we've had people cry, and so I think the video footage is very important. And we also sometimes just pass out vegan cupcakes, nourishing people to veganism that way. We also do some things at Bradley University here in Peoria. So just a variety of actions.
I was very excited. I didn't know that you were a vegan and that you had that network of people. And I was very excited at the potluck last night because we tell everybody that I'm a vegan, but most people think that you can still eat chicken and be a vegan or something. It's just really weird. And
It
so very exciting for me because, I'm usually going to the grocery store and just getting fruits and vegetables to eat because people they think that being a vegan your food has to be boring and you guys really had some nice tasty desserts and food and everything. So, I think it's
is.
really important in our culture that food is so important to just let people know that you can still eat very well, but eat very ethically and humanely also.
Yeah, and there's so much out there in the vegan cooking world that people making the transition, it's like you say, it can still be very, very tasty. I have friends that are excellent vegan cooks, and they I've even, through learning a little bit about vegan cooking, I've fooled people and who thought that they were eating animal products, and then after they're done, I tell them that they weren't. So yeah, you don't have to give up taste. And even if I did have to give up taste, I would for the animal, but you
Absolutely.
don't really have to give up taste for to make the world a better place for them and for us.
Well, Tanya Sneed, thank you so much for your hospitality here in Peoria and for your deep, committed activism. But thank you so much for also letting me interview you for Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Okay, and I'll see you in a minute because, like I
All
said, I'm upstairs and you're downstairs. Well, Tanya, again, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that's Cindy Sheehan Soapbox for this week, and I hope you go and check out the information on Jimmy Dennis. And like I said before, there's so many people immorally and obscenely on death row and in prison here in the United States. And like Tanya's pointed out, all these issues are connected, and we can, I think, give our attention to a few of these issues and do them justice. And so I want to thank Tanya for her activism and for being on Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. And hopefully along the way, I'll be able to do a lot more of these interviews with people who are in their communities doing the work in the trenches. And Peoria is a conservative community, but Tanya and her network here are doing fabulous things for peace and justice and animal rights. And so I'd like to thank not just Tanya for being on the show, but my fabulous engineer, Don DeBar, my producer, Mikey, and the group of people that I am most grateful to for supporting Cindy Sheehan Soapbox, of course, are the listeners. I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. Peace out for now.